after 3.5 hours, can you believe, in town court in Saugerties, he was finally found guilty of the noise complaints. But that's it. You know, the complaints were only for noise and not about anything else that's going wrong in that backyard. The three pups, basically, or two or three pups that I could see, were in a pen. The dogs are in very large chains, much larger and much shorter than your proposal calls for. What else is wrong with it? They're out there all the time. There's no 12-hour limit or anything for the dogs. The dogs never get walked. They never get played with. They never go in the house. It's really quite sad. He actually did used to have a dog, a real like dog that used to come in and out of his house. I have no idea what happened to that dog. It was a little tiny thing that used to escape out of the house all the time. I think it probably just ran away or, you know, was run over or something. That's the reason I'm here today, is that I just hope that the legislature decides to pass this law, because I can't tell you how emotionally distressing it is for me and other neighbors to realize what's really going on across the street from us. You know, sometimes I really kind of compare it to what happened in Ohio, where those three poor women who were stuck in that house. I mean, when I was in court last week, the person who owns the dogs said to the judge that these 9 dogs were his pets. Well, I can tell you they're anything but pets. You know, they're really, in my mind, just prisoners in his backyard. I think that's probably all I really wanted to say. I mean, if anybody wanted to see pictures, I could show you. I mean, it's really quite appalling. The only thing that this guy does do is he does feed the dogs. He doesn't even live at this house anymore. He's been kicked out by his wife. He lives somewhere else. He comes over maybe for 30 minutes a day to feed the pets. I shouldn't say that. To feed the dogs. You know, I've always, you know, when they start barking, I just hear him yell at them all the time. I was told by the prosecutor who tried the case in town court last week in Saugerties that one of the witnesses for the defense said that he's moved most of the dogs. So now I'm kind of upset, because now I don't know where they are and I don't know what worse conditions they're probably in. But I'm just hoping that next week you can just pass this law, because I'm sure this isn't the only case that's going on in our county. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Adam Saunders.
Good evening. For those that don't know, I'm currently the executive director at the Ulster County SPCA. This, I felt, was an appropriate meeting for me to attend. I do have some firsthand knowledge of what occurs with tethering. Prior to my appointment as director, I have spent the last 7 years as one of the animal cruelty investigators at the shelter. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases. Tethering currently is not, as you know, illegal in New York. We do, however, field complaints about it all the time. In a given month, we're probably witness to 15 to 20 dogs in that kind of situation. It is unfortunate that our hands are tied as far as what we can do to stop it, to prevent it. These dogs, when tied up, even in the best of situations, in the best of tethering situations, these dogs are restrained. Which means they cannot escape predators. Most of us, when we picture tethering, picture, you know, your big pit bull dragging the heavy chain, and he may be capable of protecting himself from, you know, the local coyote or whatever it is. But we have seen dogs. Just last week, I went to a situation and there was a pug, tethered to somebody's back porch, and that was this pug's life. You know, you guys that are familiar with pugs, that guy's not protecting himself from anything, and he was completely and utterly restrained. Limited access to shelter, legal by the definitions of agricultural markets, but no way to escape, again, said predator. His short hair would prevent him from adequately surviving or withstanding the extreme weathers we run into in the Northeast. You could see a lot of these times hair loss on these dogs, probably due to the weather extremes they suffer, probably due to the untreated mite infestations they have, or the flea allergies they develop, because these dogs are, just by the mindset of somebody that would keep their dog that way, these dogs are not provided even the most basic of medical care. it's also a situation where the chains or the tethers that hold them in place, the dogs can wrap them around a nearby tree, a nearby post, frequently wrap them around their own dog houses. So somebody that is providing a legal dog house, that dog house itself can become a danger. If the dog wraps himself around it, and many dogs, they don't know enough to go the other direction. They have to be led in that regard, and suddenly they become stuck. Their food, their water, that roof, it could be 3 feet away, but they can't get to it because the owner isn't watching, isn't home, or in the case of that one, doesn't even live there anymore. I'm quite familiar with the situation that she presented. I mean, she and I have had many conversations about it, and legally speaking, my hands have been all but tied. It's not ideal by any means. So we've got, you know, weather extremes, we've got possible predators, we've got lack of medical care. You know, heartworm is a growing problem here in the Northeast. Heartworm is spread by mosquitoes. There are heartworm preventative medicines we can give to these animals, but again, the people that keep their dogs like this are unlikely to spend that money every month. A law such as this would almost present a cultural shift that, you know, these people are required to suddenly consider the animals slightly more of a family member rather than a lawn ornament. And it would provide, hopefully, you know, it would make the animals a little more present in the owner's mind. It would provide us a little bit more, you know, teeth to go out there and actually require that these guys get some sort of care. As I said, 15, you know, dogs a month I can think of that we run into this situation. Off the top of my head, aside from the ones that she mentioned, if this passed, I could probably go out there in the next 2 weeks and find another 40 to 45 of situations I already know about and have been unable to touch over the last several months. Recently, my role has primarily been investigator with the SPCA. And, you know, I've gone out there and I've brought animals back whenever it was necessary for their well-being, and I haven't had any thought to the cost to the shelter. I do have another role there now where I do have to consider the cost to the shelter as the director. I will point out that because of the scope of this law that is so well written, and I really wish whoever authored it had also written the agricultural markets laws that I work with, but it does provide us with such an ability to go out there and handle this problem. The volume of cases that may be coming into the local courts would be very high. And there's a cost involved. All I would ask, you note in here that the fines imposed would be put into a fund. I don't know if there's a way for that fund to be accessible by the agencies that take the animals. That's all I would ask. The SPCA, as you know, is a nonprofit. We survive strictly on donations. And, you know, I am more than willing, more than ready, as are my other investigators, to go out there and pursue this law if passed. I would just look for a way to help us with the expenses. That's all. That covers what I have to say. So any questions before I step down? Or?
Anyone else? Meeting adjourned. Second? Aye. Opposed? Okay, the next regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be the 21st of October, 7 p.m. in this very room. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second?